gentlemen, you are welcome to the Unseen Dreams, where dreams are realized. This is Salama School for the Blind, where education for blind children flows like a river. Thank you, teachers. Thank God.
Working with people who are scared, who are timid, people who don't believe in themselves as well, and you're working with people who have been told they can't do anything sometimes. Even when you start to work with them, there's all that mixed reactions. We wanted to reach out to children who are disabled, or we call them who are differently abled, because we are all differently abled. How can we converge together in one space and be able to celebrate dance? If I'm blind, but I can still meet someone who doesn't hear, or someone who doesn't walk, or someone who has everything,
yeah.
How do we commune together and be able to participate and dance together? When you dance, it's more about like, let me break a leg, let me do this, like big things. But I've learned like it can be the smallest, tiny things. Dance is not all about movement. Dance is more of worship. We as artists need to learn, first of all. We as artists need to teach, because that's where we all come from. I think the way I look at the world right now is way different from the way I used to look at it before.
Afro Millennial, the podcast, is a casual sound space for millennial creatives in Uganda and across the African continent to share their life stories. The podcast discusses a healthy balance of their professions, passions, and personal lives, and offers a bit of perspective and lessons from their life experiences. Come on, let's have fun.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Afro Millennial, the podcast, a creative sound space where we host young African millennial creatives to try and understand more about them than meets the eye, to get to know them better, understand their creative process, what goes right, what goes wrong, do they have any regrets, have they had business lessons, do they look up to anyone? So basically just get to know them. My name is Anthony Michael Mwami, and I'm the host of the podcast. And with me in the house today, we have a creative that I've known for quite a while now, but he probably did not know that.
Hey.
I'm very, very familiar with his work. He's a creative more into the field of dance, and he has niched down on creating a safe space for creatives living with disabilities that might be interested in dance, and probably a lot more that I don't yet know about, and what I hope we shall be learning about today. So me in the house is Kenneth Desire Teleka.
Yes.
Welcome, Kenneth.
Thank you.
But before we get into a conversation with you, the past 2 weeks we've had the episode from Derek about his work on NASA Road as a creative in the space of branding, and we had quite a bit of feedback from the listeners, so I'll cue the producer in now to share with us that feedback.
Hey Afro Millennial, my name is Nasuke. I love the episode on Derek and his creative work at NASA Road, because I was really intrigued on how he's able to have a successful side hustle as well as maintain his 9-to-5. You guys are really doing a great job, and thank you so much. Keep these episodes coming. But however, I felt like this episode was short.
Hi Afro Millennial, my name is Robert. I love the episode on Derek and his creative work at NASA Road. Personally, I relate to his story, juggling an 8-to-5 and a side hustle, if I would call it that. Most millennials lately have a lot of potential that and the internet has sort of enabled them to exploit that potential, aside from having an 8-to-5 and what you went to school for, blah blah blah. There's a lot we can do with our abilities, and I'm glad he explored that. And I love what he does with the, mostly with the shots. It's very unique and nice, and his story is captivating. Though I felt like the episode was too short, we should have like another episode, yeah, I feel like he was holding back too much, or he just didn't have time, enough time to tell the entire story.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Offrey Millennial, the podcast.
Thank you very much, listeners. It means the world to us when we get all this feedback from you. And we'll keep sharing our channels on which you can share with us that feedback, just to get your ideas, get your thoughts, get your suggestions on what you think about the creatives that you meet in this space. So, Kenneth Desire Teyeka.
Yes.
The question that a lot of people don't like to hear. Who is Kenneth?
Kenneth is a very simple person.
Yeah.
As a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Though right now, is more into choreography,
yeah,
more into creating, not mainly on the upstage,
yeah,
but more now thinking dance like that. Yeah.
So you're a choreographer more from a strategic point of view?
Yes, more from a strategic point
of view. But you can dance when the need arises, you can break your
own bonds. Of course, when the need arises, yeah, I can dance.
I hope the need arises on our set so that people can see you dance. For those that have never seen you dance.
Yeah, the need arises, I dance. Yeah.
Yeah. And what does Kenneth do exactly?
Dance. Yeah, generally like...
For a living and for passion.
Yeah, for a living and for a passion. I do dance. I teach dance as well.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a lot of... Of later work with a lot of children, kids, youth. So I do teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I live off dance, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Unseen Dreams. Who are Unseen Dreams? What is Unseen Dreams exactly?
It's a project. I don't want to call it a project. It's an idea that came up. We wanted to reach out to mainly children who are disabled or participants who are differently abled. Like all of us have limitations. So we wanted to reach out to that other sect of people who have different limitations, but where the space doesn't allow them to participate because of the limitations they have. So we wanted to reach out to them, but also to challenge ourselves, more especially me, as a creator, as a choreographer, to work with a different category of people that I've never worked with and see how best I can create new works. And so that's how we birthed Unseen Dreams.
Yeah.
But also coming from a workshop about inclusivity, I think it was like a 1-week workshop, and meeting these the people we are workshopping with, and them telling you about their dreams and how they feel like they were shattered. So it birthed that idea as like, actually, if I can specifically pick up one person.
Mm-hmm.
She's called Olivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for her, when we had these discussions, because she got involved in an accident and she lost both her limbs, and then she got a deep cut on her head, and so she wanted to be a model. I was like, okay, those are some of her aspirations. She wanted to be a model. She used to dance, so she felt like her dreams were shattered, kind of. So it came from that perspective. So when we went to work in the school where she is, that's Campus School for the Physically Handicapped, then we met other members who had these different challenges. And so that's when we birthed that idea of Unseen Dreams.
Beautiful. So Unseen Dreams is the organization that you run.
Unseen Dreams is part of what we do.
What you do.
I run a dance company called Duta Dance Company. So as most people used to call it, we used to call Utah Convicts,
yes,
until we rebranded to Utah Dance Company.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's we used to do more of contemporary theoretical performances.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and then these are now extensions of the dance that we do. So Unseen Dreams is part of the things that we do.
Beautiful. This is probably the first time I'm hosting someone from the dance side of things in the creative space. So it's pretty exciting for me because I like to dance. So I'm a mad dancer. So maybe we can have a conversation after here. Yeah, so I'm curious, Utah Dance Company, right?
Yes.
Is it all disability or is it just the Unseen Dreams part that focuses on disability and then Utah Dance Company has everybody, like everybody well-abled and differently abled?
No, initially, Utah Dance Company was everybody well-abled. Okay.
Yeah.
But as we started Unseen Dreams, now we integrate some of the performers from Unseen Dreams within Utah. That's if the need, there is a piece that we need to do together or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful concept. The fact that you didn't set the two apart to, you know, alienate one group from the other, but you sort of incorporate them.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful thing. So Unseen Dreams and the Dance Fest are one and the same?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the Dance Fest.
Well, the Dance Fest was ideally to create space where we can converge as dancers, because dance is more of worship. So as dancers, how can we converge together with all, because we are all differently abled, how can we converge together in one space and all be able to celebrate dance? So that's how the festival came together. Like, if I'm blind, but I can still meet someone who doesn't hear, and or someone who doesn't walk, or someone who is just has everything.
Yeah.
How do we commune together and be able to participate and dance together? So that's how the festival came about. And also because we didn't just want to do skilling or teach dance and then leave it at there. I wanted people to see what teams can do, but also what we can do as choreographers, because it's also a challenge for the different choreographers who work with the different teams as well.
For those that probably have not been knowing, this past week has been the International Deaf Awareness Week.
For the deaf.
And it was a beautiful experience just yesterday, the day before we shoot this podcast that you're now listening to. The Dance Fest happened, the Dance Fest of this year.
Yes.
And I was honored to be there to watch them perform, because it was really inspiring. Just like you're saying, you know, it was a healthy combination of everybody with their abilities and where they might lack abilities. Somebody else compliments them.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of people coming together to form one body. And that was really, really beautiful to watch. It's amazing. You're doing amazing work.
Thank you.
Now, let me take us a little bit into the creative process.
Yeah.
What is it like organizing the Dance Fest? Because, like you said, these are differently abled people.
Yes.
They all have different abilities. Mm-hmm. Is it challenging trying to get them into a unified concept? How does that usually work out for you, engaging all these people to make this one grand thing?
Well, I think it's quite a good experience from a creator's point of view, because it helps you learn deeper.
Yeah.
As a person, but also it's challenging as well.
Yeah.
Because you're working with people, first of all, they have never performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's most of them, they're first timers.
Ah.
You're working with people who are scared, who are timid. You're working with people who don't believe in themselves as well. And you're working with people who have been told they can't do anything sometimes. So they have that. So even when you start to work with them, you have, so there's all that mixed reactions. But working with them along the, we have learned a lot, for everyone, the first experience, once they engage, then they take off. One experience I have, there's when I was working with the School of the Blind, there's this young boy, I think he was seeing before, but he lost sight.
Yeah.
And so he was timid, he was isolated, he never used to fit into with his friends, because for him, it just happened when he was an adult. And I didn't know that he was a dancer. So we started and we were dancing, and he used to come and he just chat from a different side. But as we continued working, and I think when he had his peers in the dorm talking about it and trying it out, when he came in, actually Fondi was such a great dancer, doing like big boys freezes, and I'm like, wow, okay. And when he let out completely.
True.
And there's another school, not a school, it was an organization like in Wandegea. There's just a young boy. So we're working with the rest, and he was very timid.
Yeah.
Like, he used to come and watch, but you'd see probably had interest, but he was scared. So one of our coordinators, one of the people we work with, had a chat with him. He was like, I also want to dance, but I fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, no, why do you fear? So they did a piece together. And when we came back the next time, he was the leader. Like, you know, he was younger, but he had the more energy. Like when you said, like, hey, you're coming, it was the thing.
Yeah.
But then also the other thing is about the festival. One thing we have learned is one of their only way getaways, recreational. As we have gotten to learn, like when you tell them, you know what, now we are going to the theater. They are all excited, they are all happy, because that's one of the only recreation activity they are going to have. So as like, oh, okay. So it's very interesting for them. But the experience of work is, of course, a little bit challenging, because you work with them differently.
Yes.
For example, for the blind, you have to be very patient, and sometimes it needs, when you're not alone, for you to get the right thing, you need to have like three people who can work alongside you. But of course, challenges of human resource, finances can't allow that. So you have to work with them alone. And so it becomes very challenging time. Need to know the right music. For example, if you're working with the deaf, you need to know the right music. But it's a good challenge, because as a creator, it helps me also dig deeper.
Beautiful. You queued in a lot of questions that I have. I had like 6 questions for you, but now I have like 25 questions. But still on the creative process, you mentioned something about needing patience to work with people that probably cannot hear, and you're working on a dance routine for them. It was a question that kept occurring to me yesterday as I watched some of these young people perform. Like, these people literally can't hear the music, but they are able to do a whole dance routine.
Yeah.
And it seems to be on beat with the music that we can hear are listening to. Mm. So I was curious, how does that usually work? Like, also for the people that can't see, how are they able to come up with a dance routine and be so uniformed if they can't see one another? I'm curious on your creative process around that. You said it involves teams. So how do they usually work, and how long does that usually take you?
For me, one of the main tricks I use is the music, of course.
Yeah.
And for example, if I'm to work with on a piece, let's say with blind children, I need to start it with children who are like 3 years, 3, 4 years, who are younger.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're just starting to... So if I get how best to break it down for these young children and they get it, then I know I can break it down for the blind ones as well.
So too. Adaptation is easy.
Yeah, so the adaptation is easy. So it's a little bit tricky when you start it the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, normally if I know I'm going to work with that team, I first start it from children who are younger, who are much younger.
Yeah.
And so because there you need to explain, break it down, then it helps me to transform that, to adapt. And with the deaf, it's not quite hard, because they can see your movement, you can see how you there. The challenge comes on music. Ideally, what we do is we choose the right music. So there are people who have worked with them, but the different thing is they don't choose the right music for them. So you find they're dancing and then they're offbeat. And then also we try very much, because for them they can hear the vibration, we try very much to to make sure, like, if they're performing,
they pick on vibrations.
Yeah, they pick on vibrations. Yeah.
So the music, you keep the music grounded.
Yes.
So it can get to them through another form.
Yes, through another form.
Wow. So is this something you learned along the way as you worked with them, or is this common knowledge in like the field of music?
I also just learned it along the way. Because when we are starting, it was mainly about let's try it out, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
And then as you work alongside them, then you all get to learn. They learn from you, but there are also certain things to learn. You learn how to, for example, do movements without having to speak them. So now that's the thing. When you're working with them, you have to learn how to do the movement.
Be like them.
Yeah, without really having to speak them.
So you have to get yourself into their space.
Yeah, you have to go into their space. And then when you go into the blind, it's a little bit different. You have to learn how to speak the movements. Like, you have to tell them every niche glitch of it. And then also the other thing now that I wasn't using before, but yes, when I went there, it's about feelings, about touch. Yeah, because now they have to touch and feel, okay, this is hand is going here, so how do I feel? So they intensify the movement and then they try it out. So that is something I didn't originally know how to work with it, but now, yes, I can say, okay, you touch.
So a lot of your career has been trial and error, learning.
Yeah,
that is really, really powerful. That's powerful to hear.
Yeah, yes.
You mentioned something around the young people having esteem issues at your first point of engagement with them, and it got me thinking about how, you know, sometimes we have friends who, you know, are involved in accidents or are bedridden in a hospital. And it frustrates them sometimes that they're not able to do things that they were able to do before. And you see them having mental meltdowns of a sort. So I'm curious, during your trainings, during your interactions with these people, do they have those moments where it hits them and it's just, you know, they know this is what you want them to achieve and they're not achieving it as best they feel they should? Do they have those moments of frustration where it's just like, and you have to teach them, you have to talk to them about patience? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it has happened a lot. There are those who love it so much, but they feel that, so they want to push extra. And sometimes you discover that they're actually damaging their bodies.
Yeah.
So you try to restrain them.
To achieve it. So they strain themselves.
Yeah, so they're straining themselves. I'm like, no. So, but we have also a group of, we workshop them away from the dance. We have things that we do that helps set in that. When we dance, it's not really about dancing, it's more of communing. Like we have...
it's like fellowshipping.
It's more like fellowshipping. So when the person comes, it's about being happy in the space than feeling like you can't do it. They don't feel like they can't. So it's also looking at who does what better and picking it out.
Yeah.
And then they feel like, yeah, now I'm doing this good. So it's all about other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those moments have been there.
It's interesting because it reminds me of music festivals we used to have in primary school.
Uh-huh.
It's like we used to watch movies and it's like people are having fun with the creative process of like, they joke and say, cut, another cut. And then us in the schools, it was like, you have to do it. And you're like, Jesus. It's not life-threatening. We could get it or not get it.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that your approach is not, you know, a primary school music festival approach to things. That's really, really interesting. On to my next question now. You said something about how, as you've come to work with them, it has always driven you to dig deeper into yourself. You've had to adjust Yeah. You know that how you're going to address these people, how you're going to work with people with a particular inability is not the same way you're going to work with people with another, you know, different ability. How has working with these people directly impacted your life? Has it had any life reflections on you? Has it resulted in any growth of sorts within yourself? You know, has it given you like a different outlook on life and the world?
Yeah, definitely it has very much. I think the way I look at the world right now is way different from the way I used to look at it before. I've learned to be more, more patient, more...
Kinder to yourself.
Yeah, kinder to myself. Mm. I've learned that even if I can't do it, there's someone else who can do it better. I've learned to also push myself way beyond, like, not just looking at things at just
surface level.
Surface level. Also in creation, I've learned that dance is not all about movement.
Yeah.
Just a tiny movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, more especially here in Uganda, we like to... When you dance, it's more about like, let me break a leg, let me do this, like big things. But I've learned that it can be the smallest, tiny things. So it has been very refreshing, ever since I've worked with them.
Are you one of a kind in Uganda or East Africa or Africa? Or do you have connections or networks with other people that are doing something similar?
I think... Yeah, I have a few connections with a few. I think that is something I'm yet to dig deeper into.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I first wanted to incline myself into understanding before I can also...
Internally, before you start branching out.
Yeah, before I start branching out.
Okay. Mm. How long have you been doing Unseen Dreams for?
This is the seventh year.
The seventh year. Wow.
With missed 1 year of COVID, of course.
Ah, yes. So that brings me now to the next question.
Yes.
COVID adaptation. You are a person that works directly with young people that are differently abled.
Yes.
From your observance, how did the pandemic affect these young people, not just in terms of dance and socially, but also, you know, business-wise? Do you think it's affected them differently from how it affected the rest of us?
Yeah, of course it definitely affected them differently.
Same way and differently?
Yes, I think same way and differently.
Yeah.
Same way is because we all face the same challenges.
True.
Maybe for them a little bit linear because there's mobility, but then... we all had the same challenges. But then for them, again, is there are some things that they couldn't couldn't access because of mobility, because of the people maybe who are supposed to give them to them, they're not there. And then most of them sometimes have challenges of staying with people at their homes. Like, they become more of a burden, kind of. So now they had to be at home for a long period of time with people that are not used to being with them. So they had to also adjust. So those are all different challenges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. You're quite inspirational. You're somebody that is doing something that a lot of us have failed to do.
Thank you.
Not failed, but have not been able to do, or probably not thought about doing yet.
Yeah.
Or hopefully there's still some people that are on the road to learning how to do what you do.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like your experience to speak to the rest of the creative industry. How best do you think we can become more inclusive in the things that we do as creative spaces? You know, art, film... Could be dance, like you, could be any other, maybe rap and all those other places. Mm. How best do you think we can reinforce the conversation on making that these places sort of prioritize making themselves disability inclusive? Yeah.
I think it starts from, it should start from up.
Yeah.
Once the people have recognized that these spaces need to be inclusive, then we as artists or artists will adjust. And then I think I've seen some artists who have adjusted.
Yeah.
I've seen as artists who have incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some festivals which open up. I think before COVID, you'd find like now festivals would give a space, like they would say, okay, there's this. But then above all, there's need for skilling.
Yes.
Because you can't just open up a space when you don't have people are going to be in the space.
Yes.
There's need for skilling. Most times you go to these places and someone brought kits. There's a full band, but there's no one to teach.
Yeah.
So most of those things die or become useless. Recently, I was at a school, and they I think they donated these things like a keyboard. They donated like guitars and what, but they're all rotting away because the school are trying to get someone to teach the children or to teach the participants. So I think it starts from there. We as artists need to learn, first of all. We as artists need to teach because that's where we all come from. I come from someone who opened up a space and was like, I'm training dancers. You want to dance? Come and join. So I trained, I learned, and now I'm also giving that back. So we need to open those spaces. We need to go back and teach and not just teach. Not just teach here, but also go in and teach those people differently. But when they're skilled, then definitely the spaces will open up, because then if someone watches a skillful performance, then they'll want it in their event like that.
Yeah.
And so the more events open up, the more skilled people we have who are differently abled, that means the more spaces will open up, the more festivals will open up.
Beautiful. As you work with these young people, there comes, as you said, there's always an experience, a new learning experience every single time you're interacting with them, and some needs show up, some lessons show up.
Mm.
Are there needs that young people that are differently abled have that you particularly feel like Unseen Dreams might not have the capacity to directly address, but would need to work with like other partners on? That you would like to talk about?
Yeah, there are definitely needs. There are so many, but they differ, of course.
Yeah.
For us, per
different ability, per group?
Perhaps. Yeah, per group. I would say for us, we are more of a dance company. We're dancers. We love to share in dance.
Yeah.
But then you go and you feel sometimes you're leaving out people, because for them, they don't want to dance. They want to sing.
They have other needs.
Yeah, they want to sing. Or they want to just play an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And more especially when it comes to instrumentations, you find that so many want to play an instrument, want to play guitar, want to do this, but we don't have those skills. And so if there are guys who are out there and they can add on to that, that would be very beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the others are more of in terms of mobility, like someone wants to dance, but maybe they have clutches which are weaker, so they need to get stronger clutches, and we can't provide that. Or like they are professional dance chairs, they're wheelchairs, dancing wheelchairs. Oh.
Dancing chairs are different from the regular wheelchairs.
Yeah, no, okay. Actually, they're sports.
No, they're more like sports chairs.
Because they're more.
Like how we have sports bikes and regular bikes.
Uh-huh.
So the same applies to wheelchairs.
Yes, the same
applies. That's a new learning. Yes. I did not know that.
Yeah, but now in Uganda, we don't have many of those. And sometimes you create a piece and you see these young people struggling to use their wheelchairs, but not because they can't use them, but because they're not meant for those purposes.
Right.
And maybe you need people who can support them or who can support get the right wheelchairs, dance wheelchairs, or right equipment, I would say.
Now, I have a slightly sensitive question.
Yes.
Has there been any government interaction with your initiative so far? Like, have you made attempts to reach out to probably local governments or or like a city council to partner with you on some of these things to try and avail these services? Or if there hasn't, are there any plans to engage them?
Yeah, we haven't had a discussion with the government and what. We have tried to invite them for events, but I think all the time we have invited, the people we have invited haven't showed up, though they have showed interest.
Yeah.
So I think our next step is to have a deeper conversation.
Yeah.
But of course, it also goes through the right, who do you meet, who's the right person and all that. So we have had some engagements prior to this event, and there might be discussions that we might have there with the government, and we hope that we can also have those government away from just saying, oh, this is a good initiative and what, but we hope that they can really dive into, because we think this is the only event that brings together all these children and who have diverse abilities to also engage in arts, because in schools they do MDD, like there's a competition, an MDD competitions, but when these schools are not part of that, and I think it's not a good thing.
Beautiful. A lot of the times when I host creatives on this podcast, I'm always curious how their parents took the whole idea of, you know, me, I don't want to become a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. Me, I want to do dance. Because growing up, I wanted to be a DJ.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was a water engineer.
Yeah.
And his office hosted me sometime during a holiday. And all these people are surrounding me and they're asking, manager's son, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said DJ, and everybody lost their minds. As soon as my dad walked in, they literally reported me to their mom. They said, manager, your kid wants to become a DJ. And I said, no, he can be what he wants to be. So I'm curious, before Unseen Dreams, obviously you've had a passion for dance for a very long time. What is your parents' perception about your decision to venture into dance, or the people that raised you, what was their perception like? And did that change for the better or for the worse when you decided to specify your efforts on young people living with disabilities?
I ventured into dance at a very young age. So it was, I think, one of the people who even introduced me to that was my late dad.
Yeah.
Because I used to love dancing when I was at home. You know the things when you're dancing.
So you used to entertain the guests. Did you entertain the guests on Christmas?
Once in a while.
Once in a while.
So I think he noticed that thing. So once in a while, he would just pick me up. Let's go out. And so go and tell you go and dance like in front of an audience. Maybe you're in the band is playing. Then you just go and dance like that. So I think at an early age, there's no bias. Of course, there's things like you have to be a doctor, you have this. And then it passed when I was still young. So growing up with my mom, we didn't have a lot of interaction because then she had to work a lot, you know, just to make sure that we are good.
Yeah.
And then for me, I took that journey. And then I haven't really had a lot of issues about it.
About your career choice.
Career choice. Beautiful. Maybe at a starting point, aunties and what. Because you're coming back late and stuff. Because now I started to venture into art. Like now, I'd go to watch plays, and sometimes they end late. I would go into the singing, those things of karaoke. So I ventured a little bit earlier, and then I decided dance. So I happened to be co-in Cave 2000, you know, DVA, those places where those guys used to sing from.
Yes.
And then I think just when I decided to dance, also, maybe the church thing, because we're in church also. So when we went to church and you're dancing for church and we're from church, so they didn't have a problem with that.
Mm.
Yeah, so until I decided to take, even when I decided to take it professional, they didn't have
challenge. They were supportive.
Not really supportive in a way.
But they didn't stop you.
Yeah, they never stopped me. Yeah.
Now, the challenge that creatives face sometimes is to commercialize their talents, to develop a business model from it.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, how is that going for you? Like as a business model, like earning from, you know, Utah and also Unseen Dreams, and also of course because you have a team,
mm-hmm.
obviously the team as human resource needs to be managed and things of the sort. How is that going for you?
Such like you said, it's a challenge.
Yeah,
I was still learning and trying to develop it more.
Yeah.
It's, I wouldn't say it's there. It's not yet there. Well, we're learning.
Yeah.
You know, the problem, sometimes we become more passionate and forget about the other bit. And then when you sit there alone and you're like, needed to get this off. But we are learning. It's a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a little bit somewhere before the podcast, your intentions on shifting the young people with disabilities that you work with from just doing it for talent to doing it professionally for money.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your plans around that as well.
Right now, we've been doing Unseen Dreams, but more of, on a talent kind of, we have created this
talent
is
best.
Good. Yeah, this is best. But we want to move away from this is good, this is best, to now real professionalism, working, creating a shift whereby we said we are meeting at this time, we are working for these hours, and we are doing this, creating pieces that are engaging, but also sold professionally. So that's our next move as Unseen Dreams and Utah Dance Company.
So the plan is to create like commercial content
with commercial these young people. With these young people.
Beautiful. I'm really excited to hear that. Hopefully my producer and I can be engaged in some of those creative processes. He's giving me the eye of course, but it would have to be a whole other conversation. What does the future look like for Kenneth and for Unseen Dreams? Where do you see this going?
I think the future is I can say is bright.
Yeah.
We always look for the best when you look at the future. And I also think, I feel like for Unseen Dreams, there are more spaces that are going to open. And the more spaces open, the more people are going to engage these young people. I think the more skilling will develop, because it starts from skilling. As for Kenneth, the future is also, because now I'm looking at my way of thinking production-wise, changed totally.
Yeah.
And there are so many projects that I have in my head right now, like so many pieces that I want to create.
Yes.
But not just create for, just, okay, I created a piece, and to that stamped, like when someone watches it, they're stamped. I'm also looking at reproducing some of my old works.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking at right now.
Well, wish you the absolute best.
Thank you very much.
Two last questions. One is, how do people reach Unseen Dreams? How can people contact Unseen Dreams in case they have plans on how to, you know, partner with you on something or work with you on something? And then two, could you just give us some parting words to young creatives out there about probably about creativity or just disability inclusion in their work?
We are based at the theater, National Theater.
Oh, you're based at the National Theater?
Yeah, that's where we work from. That's where we rehearse as Utah Dance Company, or as Desire, if you're looking for Desire. But then you can also reach on our socials.
Yeah.
I think Facebook. We use a lot of Facebook. Unseen Dreams.
Yeah.
Inclusive Dance Arts Festival. Or you can just call, contact us directly on our phone line. 0783-10-3424 or 0703-24-10-34. and we can have conversations. We have had people have called, who have called us like answering dreams now, like in Mitiana, they call you, oh, we saw this and we want our children to get engaged.
Yeah.
So, which is good.
Yes.
Yeah. And then for the creative, I'll just say, let's open our creative mind. Let's not be kept in the box.
Yeah.
Let's go out of the box, reach out, be inclusive. The only way we can grow bigger and better is if we are inclusive. As long as we keep excluding ourselves,
yeah.
Like, this is my art, this is what I can do, we cannot go anywhere. We have to be fully inclusive. Let's open up, keep learning, in other words. Let's not just keep like, I know this and you stay there.
And that's as far as you want to go.
And the more you share, the more you become better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sharing is learning.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kenneth, for making the time.
You're welcome.
You are an inspiration. You are a trailblazer.
Thank you.
I honestly do not know anybody else globally that is doing this, what you do. And so I think that speaks quite a lot to your personality as a person, your character, and your dedication to serving others. It's really, really powerful to watch. And I wish nothing but the absolute best for you.
Thank you.
Moving forward. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to listen in to us, Familiar New, the podcast. That was Kenneth Desire Tereka for you. Do not forget to check him out on socials. Like I said, turn your VPN on. Turn your VPN on and look him up on Facebook. That's Unseen Dreams.
Yeah. But also our website will be out soon.
Ah, okay.
As Utah Dance Camp.
Okay. Yeah, that's so lovely to hear. That's lovely to hear. As usual, we love to hear your feedback. Tell us what you think about Kenneth's dream, how much he has done with it so far. If you have any suggestions on how he can get better or something that he can be more inclusive about, please do not hesitate to share that with us. You can share that feedback with us on 070-970-970, and we shall be sure to pass it on to him and to the rest of the audience. Yeah, and when you're done doing that, please don't forget to check out AfriMillennial on all socials, and leave your comment, leave your like, leave your share as well. We'll be happy to receive that. I'll send 3 quick shout outs, last minute shout outs before we close. My first one is to Chirunji Brendalin Snow White, who basically introduced me to Kenneth and his amazing work. She dragged me to this show at Makerere University a couple of years ago, and that's where I met him. I just like to tell her we appreciate her, because she also does amazing work for the creatives.
She really appreciates you, Chirunji.
Yeah. Mm. My last 2 minute shout outs are to Sheme Agawo, my producer, who hates these shout outs. And to Angela Hilda Kemirembe, who does amazing voicing for the podcast. Thank you. You'll be hearing from us again in about 2 weeks. Cheers. Take care.